The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
She's an Olympic champion. He is a two-time Olympian. Together, they're figure skating royalty. Turned NBC commentators. And now, they're pop culture icons. But more importantly, they're best friends. NBC presents Tara and Johnny. Here's Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir.
Hi guys.
Wow, honey, your voice is so much better.
It's so much better, but it's not fixed. So I finally went to the doctors and found out that I have laryngitis.
So you have Montezuma's revenge from going to Mexico. Continue. So, what else did the doctor say?
Yeah, right. So I'm on antibiotics, and he wanted me to take this steroid for it, but I'm really freaked out by steroids. Like when he said it, I gasped.
They make your face swell up. Steroids.
I was like, oh my goodness, I cannot do that. He's like, it's like the lowest milligram. It's just going to help with the symptoms. I'm like, no. I'll suffer through. He's like, you know, I always make sure I'm not doing something wrong, as if like I'm going to, you know, have a horrible virus in my body and not kill it. But if it's just the symptoms, I have that like complex where I'm like, I'll suffer. Oh, I'll suffer. Oh, yeah. I got it. I'll suffer.
See, when I'm in that situation, I look at the doctor in a way that sort of portrays the feeling and what's going on in my head, where it's like, now, am I at a proper doctor's office, or did you get your degree in a back alley next to a chicken voodoo doctor? That's kind of where I go with that when they say things I don't like. But yes, your face swell up, and we have the wedding.
I mean, we have the wedding. We can't be doing this now.
I don't have any time for that.
Oh, the wedding, Johnny. There is so much to be done.
Yeah, I mean, last week when we spoke, you were kind of just over the whole wedding planning.
Yeah, I went to Cabo. Same, it's still a thing. I keep telling Todd every day. I'm like, I'm over emails. I'm over anything with the wedding. Like, I look at when I was in Cabo, I just had 5 days of doing nothing because I didn't check email. I didn't do whatever, and I got really into it. And
yeah,
I liked it a lot.
I got super into doing nothing.
I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed not doing anything and not responding to emails and not having to like go back to another email and figure it out and count this and count that and, you know, sparklers, flip-flops. You know, there's just so much to be done still.
Now, flip-flops. How are flip-flops playing a part in the wedding?
Okay.
Or are we not giving that away?
No.
Because I'm questioning this one.
Okay, so what's funny is, like, when I look at my to-do list, there's just so many frivolous words on my to-do list. It's like flip-flops, chocolate cake.
Window panes.
Sparklers. There's just, like, these random, like, meaningless, who cares subjects on my to-do list, and that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm spending my life doing. I'm making sure that the guests have a choice of flip-flops when they walk in, because maybe their feet will be tired and maybe they want to dance in flip-flops. And Soulmates is I don't know if you know them. I'm actually using them for, because I'll be wearing, doesn't matter, it's outside, I'll be wearing a platform of 9,000 inches high. I'm wearing these like clear, you know what they are. They're like the
jellies?
No. Oh my God, I loved jellies as a kid.
I wish we could get jellies to sponsor the wedding.
Oh my goodness. Could you imagine? That would be amazing.
Were they called jellies?
I think just like in general, they were called jellies, but they were by different people. But anyway, so Soulmates is this like cover that goes over your heel so you don't ruin it. So I'm wearing that for my wedding, and they're also sending a bunch of pairs for guests as well, which is awesome.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Just like in case you step in a grate or
The cocktail hour is outside, and you can kind of like wander around this beautiful place and all the gardens, and can go down by the water and take your wine. So we're getting people flip-flops and stuff like that, and then fans. And I mean, there's so much to be done, and I'm tired. I'm ready for the honeymoon.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you. When I got back, whenever I get back from vacation, I feel like there's about a week and a half solid of vacation hangover where you just can't be bothered.
Yeah, it's just like, no.
I'm going on like 2.5 weeks of it just from Iceland.
You're going on a permanent fix of that.
I mean, everything and everyone is an utter sort of life-altering disappointment to me. I am my own life-altering disappointment. I went out to drink the other night, and the wine wasn't great, so I was disappointed, but I still drank it, got drunk, and then was disappointed that I was drunk. And then the next day was disappointed that I didn't, you know, shower until 6:30 at night. You know, it's just this whole thing. Skating is a disappointment. I'm in a strange mental space, everyone.
Oh,
out there.
God.
So, yeah,
it's very
just
depressing on your end.
I'm having seasonal depression. I mean, the sun
seasonal,
came out, which, you know,
summer
I hate.
Almost.
I hate it.
Oh, yeah. You have reverse
it's
seasonal
so joyful.
Depression.
I know.
It's
like
so
people
sick.
Out. Like, you know what? It was still chilly a bit here last week, and people were out in crop tops. And I'm like, you effing idiot. You're going to have bronchitis next week and then blame Jesus because you got sick, when really you just wanted to dress up as a slut whore and go running and frolicking through wet sod and wet grass. Don't come to me when you get bronchitis, whore.
Moving on. So long story short, Todd won a million Emmys again, which I was very proud of him.
Brought it home to the family.
Yeah, I talked to everyone on the podcast and you last week, right before we were about to go. And we went, and my voice got progressively worse, in case anyone was wondering.
Did you do any of the techniques that mommy taught you?
I did not have time to get olive oil. I had to curl
what?
My
had
hair.
Had you done what mommy said, you would have done better.
True. But I had some so nice busy. Curls in my hair.
Fine. I mean, you looked gorgeous.
Thank you. So we went, and we were sitting there, and I'm turning to him. I'm saying, Todd, it's bad. It's bad. Like, he's like, just talk to me. And I'm like, this is me talking to you. Like, I can't. Like, this is it. And I'm getting mad at him because for this entire time, from the day I woke up with this voice, he said it was because I got drunk in Cabo. And yeah. It was so frustrating because I know, you know, I've been drunk before. I didn't have a hangover. He was saying it was a hangover. I've never experienced a true hangover, and I know that I would know what a hangover feels like for the very first time when it happens. It has not happened yet. And for him to just, you know, put that label on me, it was too much. It was too
that
much.
That is Eastern mysticism, and Todd Kapp is a mutt of the Eastern European realm. And that is what all of my, like, babushka coaches would say. They would create just things like that just to make me feel bad. Oh, you ate? Well, that's why you're going to die tomorrow.
Right. And I was like, this is not
he
this.
Doesn't get to do that.
And
he
I'm
does
like,
not get to do that. He's a man.
3 days later, TK, like, I can't talk. This is not anything to do with a hangover.
I have polyps growing in my inner throat.
I have disease in my throat.
This is a throat syndrome, Todd Kapp. This is not because I was wasted.
Right. So anyways, I went up and I presented with. So we sat down. He won his very first Emmy, which was exciting. And then.
Did he lose any, though? Like, tell me, set the scene. So were there something he was nominated for that he lost?
He
and
lost,
you had to watch him go, oh, man.
Yeah, he lost one. He lost the writing one.
Oh.
Yeah. I was,
so do like, I need to put him back into English class and make him use that triple line paper with the dotted line in the middle, make him learn cursive? I'll help him write.
On a slant. so that reminds me, my mom was so strict with cursive. I remember those lined papers. And and it's almost traumatic because I remember her just ripping it off and being like, no. One
again,
more time.
Tara.
Again. That's not a great slant. And did you indent?
If you ever have the joy of marriage, you're going to have to write thank you notes to people. And if you do it in print, people are going to poop on them and send them back.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so he did really well. He was winning his Emmys, but he had one more left. And I had no idea when I was presenting. Like, you know, sometimes you just show up someplace and they just don't tell you anything. Like, I'm at cocktail hour having a glass of wine, not being able to speak. And like, like, maybe I'll present tonight. Maybe I won't. Finally, someone comes up.
But wait, hold on. Meanwhile, me knowing you, outside looking in, someone probably did tell you, but you were so worried about your throat.
That I probably didn't hear it.
You did not hear it or notice it, or if you had fallen on the person that told you, Tara, you're presenting the 30th award.
Right. Would have no idea. So I'm
no
sitting
idea. Who
there.
Are you again?
I'm waiting, and then we start to, like, realize we could be I could be presenting, because you go up and you have a partner. Mine was David Verity, which was fun. And you present probably 4 or 5 awards. Okay. And so we started to realize, oh my goodness, I'm probably going to be in one of the last category that Todd was up for. And so I was like so excited that this could happen. And then I didn't know if it was going to happen. Then I went backstage and I'm with David and they're like, yeah, actually, like, the second to last one you present is Todd's category. So So I was very excited, and David and I presented, and he's amazing. He made a joke about you. About
on the stage?
Yes. Like, he was my Johnny Weir that night. And
he better work. Guys, David Faraday has been a guest on Tara and Johnny.
He wants to come back on, so we're gonna have to call him. Nope. No, now he's done.
No one gets to be me. First Elmo, okay, I've got a burn list. Actually, I have a burn book. I have a special book where I write down names of people I hate. It's a hate book, in fact. And I write their
Elmo
names.
Elmo is number one.
And then I spit in it, and then I close it and let it dry. So Elmo's number one, David Faraday is right up there at number two.
Okay.
And also Joffrey from Game of Thrones. So anyway, continue.
So we went up, we presented, and then, you know, you go back and forth.
You were being promiscuous with your partnerships is what you were doing.
I'm not. He made the joke, and I just stared straight ahead.
In the last month, and I have been passed over for
Elmo, David Faraday,
a puppy. Todd Kapp, I'm starting to get used to, but still not completely accepting.
Right.
No, it's fine. I just won't come to the Olympics. I will.
No.
You can choose. You can be Kelly Ripa and choose a different co-host every day until you ultimately decide on Ryan Seacrest. Nope. I won't be there. I love working with you, and I love working. Period.
You sound like me when I'm angry.
Yep. I know.
I love you so much, but please, I hate you.
I hate you so much. You've completely disappointed me.
You have hurt my feelings. This is not a tear dripping down my face.
This is not a tear. This is hate.
I'm totally
fine. Pure hate crystallized.
Great.
I'm fine. Okay. I'll just be down the road. I have things to do. I have a life to plan that doesn't revolve around the Olympic cycle.
Right.
No, I wasn't planning. I wasn't planning, you know, your pregnancy around the Olympics so that I could also plan my pregnancy around the following Olympics. It's fine.
It's fine. Great.
Don't worry about it. You know, go enjoy David Faraday and Ryan Seacrest
and Elmo.
You know.
So anyway.
Screw them all.
Exactly. That's never happening. Okay. So I go up there, and we're going back and forth, and David was, meant to sort of present his award just the way that it fell out. And so we made a cute little joke, and I came scooting up, and I was like, okay, guys, I've got to present this since my fiancé is in this category. And I look over at him, and I can tell he's dying, right? Because he's afraid. He's always afraid of what I'm going to say. I don't know why he thinks
it. Was he doing his tooth thing?
No, he's just kind of deer in the headlights. And I think it's just because he's petrified of me sometimes because I just say whatever is on my mind.
Also, you commandeer situations.
Right. So
you stole the spotlight from David Faraday.
I did. So I was like, hey, this is my fiance's category. Move out of the way.
And meanwhile, you sound like a cocktail bar.
Oh, my God. My voice was terrible. So I was like, hey, guys, you know, you were like, remember you told me you're like, just make a joke about it. So I made a joke about the bachelor party, cleared the way for my horrible voice. But then I said, you know, my fiance's in this category. And I looked over him. I was like, oh, God. I was like, and he's going to kill me for saying this. But I'm very competitive. And I just really hope that whoever judged this category correctly. I 100% said that.
That's my girl.
Yes.
See, that's why I threaten people with all my Mishas that are ready to throw a pipe bomb into a mailbox. That's my verse. Oh, I'm so proud of
you. Yes, I know. So I was like, you know, hopefully you guys judge this correctly. And then I was like, oh, I have to make sure he wins. This could be really awkward.
Yeah. And in fifth place, fifth runner-up, Todd Kapp.
And then what? I was like, so I told David, I was like, if he doesn't win, I'm not, you go up and do it all. You do it all. I'm staying back here. And I peeked into the envelope when they handed it to me, and he won. And I was so excited. And I was like, practically giddy as I'm walking to the little stage, and I told, you know, the whole world that Todd Kapp won.
Yes, he is mine, and he's won, and this is not rigged.
This is not rigged. As you've seen, he's won many, many tonight. But anyway, so I was super proud of him, and it was just really fun because, you know, it was sort of deja vu because 2 years ago, I mean, last year I went with him, but obviously didn't present, and then 2 years ago is where we met there. And it always happens in the same month and around the same time. And just standing up there, it was really strange to think 2 years ago, we didn't even know each other. I left this event not knowing his name, nor, I didn't even remember him.
Syndromes. You were worried about your pee.
My pee was neon. That's what I was most concerned about. And now 2 years later and, you know, 1 month, we're about to get married and I'm presenting him an Emmy. So it was sort of really special for us. So we had a good time. And then we I was glad that I didn't have to speak anymore. He got his Emmys. We went out. It was a fun trip. I'm like glad we went, because at first he's like, oh, Tara, like after the trip, like Cabo, blah, blah, blah. I was like, no, we're going. We are going.
We are. You are going to win those Emmys. We are going.
So we had a good time. So, yeah.
Well, a big Tara and Johnny congratulations
to
Todd Capostasci for his, you know, multiple Emmy awards. Congratulations to Lil Lipinski over there for making it through her speech and also threatening people. The Emmy Awards, were all of our bosses there?
All of our bosses were there. Yep,
did you get
there.
In there and finagle and yell at them? And
no, my voice wasn't working.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you just tried to stay away from them.
So I was like, I don't want to embarrass you guys tonight. I'm sorry. So yeah, but it was a good event. It was fun. You'll have to come one year.
We'll see.
And we'll have to present together.
I don't know. now that you've had your fill of co-presenters
Farity,
at that event, I may just wait until I'm presenting alone at the Grammys for my own successes.
And, I hate you.
Yeah. After this break, we will talk more about this situation that Tara's put us in. I've started working on my wedding speech and also Shark!
Hello, everyone. I'm Bruce Jenner.
And I'm a very cold Donna DeVerona. Join us on NBC's Olympic Diary.
Next Sunday on NBC.
So we're back. And Johnny, I've cooled off.
Calm down. I've cooled. Don't bring it up again. I've cooled off.
I know. We're not going to bring that up. But you did. Your last word before we ended the break was shark. And I think that's what we should really start this segment with. Because I was horrified and tried to find a way to send you this link and couldn't figure it out. So just was like, okay, whatever. But I knew that you would be freaking if you saw it. So go ahead and explain to everyone.
Now, everyone out there, I have retweeted it, and, you know, hopefully you all follow me on Twitter, and us on Twitter, and Tara on Twitter, at Tara Lipinski, at Johnny G. Weir, at Tara and Johnny, same names, on Instagram as well. But there was something that really horrified me last week when I saw this video pop up, and the only news outlet that I really follow on Twitter is BBC. And like anyone, I wake up with Twitter, and I'll tweet occasionally throughout the day, but, like, I don't live my life kind of clutching my phone as if it has my frozen embryos in it or something. But, you know, there was a story that popped up, and it was just an overhead view of sort of idyllic blue water with black shape in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I opened up the video, and it was Orange County, California. And I always warn Tara and everyone around me that they shouldn't go in any body of water. Perhaps even swimming pools, because there are sharks.
Johnny is terrified. You should know this by now, but Johnny is terrified of sharks.
Horrified. Like, it takes a lot of liquor to get me anywhere near walking into an ocean willy-nilly. And there'd better be nets. I better have a bomb in hand or grenades. There's a rescue boat nearby. There has to be something. And I'm all for people saying, well, you know, more people die in car crashes every year than get bitten by a shark. Well, I've sort of brought that into my brain where, you know, getting into a car accident, it could be a part of life and it's tragic and it's horrible, but it happens a lot. Shark attacks, I have lived such a superlative life that if a shark's going to bite someone, it's going to be me. Just to God making me be special again. God. So I'm terrified of sharks, and I think that they're everywhere. And I think, you know, they're the new North Koreans just trying to take us all down. And there was this video where a helicopter's flying over a beach in Southern California warning people to get out of the water, get off the paddle. And he was so calm about it. He was like...
Yeah, at first I thought it was a joke because he was just like...
He was so calm.
So calm. Sir, get out of the water.
Get out of the water. Get off of your paddle board.
16 great white sharks circling you very closely.
The sharks are as close as the surf line.
Please calmly get out of the water. Calmly. If someone from a helicopter was like on the megaphone telling me there's 16 great white sharks, I would be flipping and flopping around trying to like.
To get out.
To die.
Get out of that situation.
I mean, I would die. I would die. Hands down, I would take a heart attack. Like the sharks wouldn't kill me.
The dude that was announcing it, though, he was just like, you know that thing when you're little and your mom makes you call your grandmother to thank her for the birthday present that she gave you, which was socks?
Right.
And you call grandma and you're like, my mom is making me call to tell you thank you mm-hmm. for the beautiful socks. Thanks, grandma. I love you. And you hang up on her. The guy announcing that these people were being, you know, pretty much stalked by a great number of great white sharks was like, the board of animal people that, you know, work around here are asking us to tell you guys that there are lots of sharks circling around your feet and
like,
they're going to eat you and you're going to die.
There's so many.
He just sounded horrible when he was announcing it. Like, put a little oomph in it. Get inspire. Light a fire under those asses. Get those people out of the water. Don't be like, hey, like, you want a toke? It was awful.
It was crazy because you could see in the video, you could see the sharks.
Yeah, big black
circling
shark bodies.
This guy.
Kevin has just pulled up on his computer screen a picture of what looks to be black tip sharks or possibly not maybe bull sharks.
Johnny really knows every
black tips. Well, you know
type
your enemy.
Of shark there is.
You got to know your enemy. If someone's trying to take us down, like, for example, if there is an undercover formulation of backup skating broadcasters that are trying to take our job,
right.
I'm going to know everything about them.
Right.
if there are sharks trying to take me out at the kneecap, I'm going to know about them. I'm going to know which breeds they are. I'm going to know which ones live around the island of Iceland. And that there are great white sharks in the Mediterranean, even though everyone says there aren't. There are many documented cases of great whites in the Mediterranean. Just this is a very passionate product. It's probably going to get edited.
Take it out.
It's probably going to get edited. Yeah. So I'm not going
to
waste too much time.
Johnny loves to talk about sharks. But can we talk about, they never really showed us what happened on that video.
It was just people scurrying to get out of the water.
But did like those 16 great white sharks just not take a bite? Like how is that possible?
Well, what happens is I think that the great white sharks, they follow a seal migration. And I think in Southern California at the moment, water temperatures and those El Ninos and things, they're all contributing to where the seals are, which contributes to where the fish are and then the sharks are. And it's just, you know, circle of life. It's
just
a whole
get out of the water.
There.
I mean,
just stay out of the water.
I mean, I am petrified of sharks. I'm not quite like you. I have a house on the ocean. On the East Coast, and I know
you
that
best
there's
believe
bull.
That they're near Kiowa.
I know mm-hmm. there's bull sharks there, but there's something. I mean, I also grew up at the Jersey Shore. Like, there's something about East Coast that just seems safer than West Coast. Like, the idea of going into the water in California scares. I've never been in the water ever. Like, I've put my feet in, but I've never like went for it.
There's nothing necessary for you to jump into the Pacific.
No,
just saying.
I've never done it. Don't want to. It's also freezing. And there's great whites.
Lots of great whites. But, I mean, there's a huge colony of great white sharks off of Cape Cod.
No, I know.
I mean, they start up there and then they migrate down the southern side of the United States. This is all global warming.
I know. But I'm just really hoping that South Carolina somehow they just, you know, don't go in there. But
you couldn't pay me enough to get into any ocean on the East Coast. I mean, you know, it seems a bit safer because there are more great white sharks on the Pacific side of the United States, but the water is so murky and dark. I remember being a little person and being, first of all, terrified of the tide. And my brother was a lot smaller than me, so I was always afraid he was going to get taken out and I'd have to dive in and, you know, be a hero.
I'd have to save him.
I got to save him. But we would step on all kinds of crap, whether it was those horseshoe crabs that, you know, break your ankle stepping on one or a jellyfish, but sharks are my constant fear.
We've been having some things. We had an earthquake recently, like a few weeks ago. I forgot to tell you about this. It like I thought something fell down outside.
And in the wind?
Yeah, I thought it was like, I have no idea what I thought it was, but I was so tired that I was like, okay. my throat hurts. I immediately bolted up in bed and I was like, I'll give it a minute. And I was like, okay. I'm going to double check Twitter to see if that was an earthquake. But either way, I'm definitely going to bed. But it was right in Santa Monica. It was on the fault line. So I like we really felt it.
You're really selling me living in California to make all of our lives easier.
I know. I'm sorry. Sharks and earthquakes. Okay, moving on. Let's move.
In Japan, for the last several years, every time I'm in Japan, there is an earthquake or an aftershock. And it's terrifying. So your phone will, the iPhone, for some reason, I guess when you connect to Japanese towers, it beeps and it tells you when one is coming. So it's just this alarm that comes on, and then you see chandeliers sort of swaying back and forth. And, you know, I get my stuff together, much like when we had the fire at the studio in Denver. I grab my bag because it has my pills in it and also my coat, and I run.
Yeah.
But when it happens in the middle of the night, I love it because the hotel's completely quiet and it's just us foreign skaters like me and a bunch of Russians running through the hallways in our underpants to the stairwell, thinking that, you know, it's all going to come tumbling down. The earthquakes are also right up there on my list of fears.
I'm not too afraid of that, but I've also never been in a long one. I've been in one other one. And I remember there was like, because a lot of times you feel something, but it's so short and that's all you feel. But, right. Like, there was one that was sort of like that rolling one. And I remember thinking, like, okay, I'm done. You can stop. Yeah. Like, if it went on any longer, I remember feeling like it was like my vertigo. I was like, the syndrome is terrible.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of my vertigo, I think is coming back. Not quite sure why, because I haven't been drinking a lot because I've been trying not to chew or drink in preparation for these ice shows in Japan. But I'm going to run up to New York to have a fitting, and I believe it'll be my final one before we get the finished product for the wedding.
People are
because afterward, I'm going straight from Japan. Essentially, I fly back and I come right to the wedding. So I won't.
Are you working on your speech?
I have started working on my speech, and it was just last night. Well, you know me; I like to freeball it. I don't want to get up there and read off of a card because it's not my style. And also, I think you lose a little bit of legitimacy when you talk off of a card or a teleprompter.
But I feel like I'm going to have to do that for the vows, though, right? Like, I have to.
Okay, so you're going to stand up there under the chuppah, and you're going to pull out a little piece of paper that says, Todd, I love you, essentially.
No, but I mean, it's like 2 minutes of talking. Like, I feel like there has to be... At first, I thought, like, I can just wing it or memorize it or whatever, but I feel like to make it real, I have to read off of it. Are you against
no.
this?
I'm against it, but here's the thing.
No.
I will give you a skosh of advice. I when I got married, I didn't do a big production or anything, but we went down to a courthouse, and there we were in this horrible lavender room on Worth Street, New York City, and we had this guy. He looked like the dad from Twilight, marrying us, and I did not prepare vows, and well, I did. I knew what I wanted to say in my head, but I didn't really, you know, write anything down because it's not my style. And also, I'm like, oh, I can, you know, nail this. I've given how many press conferences? I can do this. I've given multitudes of great speeches. I'm a celebrated person. I can talk. So he had actually written down everything that he wanted to say. And it didn't look good when he pulled out a piece of paper, but he did a really good job with his vows. So I think it's acceptable for him. But you and I, we work as professional talkers.
Oh, no. See, this is what I thought. And then Todd's like, oh, don't do that.
Yeah.
And I was like, why? And everyone's saying, like, you get so emotional that you sort of get overwhelmed and you're not going to be able to, like, remember.
We can do it almost like...
I'll just come right in and save me.
I'll just tuck in and I'll tell you what you want to say. But I then after if you're going to do it, talk first. Don't let him talk first.
Yeah, so no, I'm going to go
I got
first.
So emotional while my ex was reading his vows that I started sobbing. And, you know, I should have known. And just started sobbing. This is all going to end in tears, Johnny.
Starting it off crying.
I'm probably going to end it in crying. But, so yeah, I was. He did it. I started crying, and then I started to try and talk, And I segued, which you know I do so well, I segued into like a story about, you know, restaurants and, you know, our forefathers, which, you know, I don't really care about the pilgrims so much. And I started talking around this whole big circle because I was unprepared for the raw emotion that was going
to come. That's going to be me. I don't want to start talking gibberish.
Which I think, you know what, I think it's endearing, but make sure you talk first.
I will. I'm going to talk second. I'm going to talk first. Because I also fear that his is going to be really good.
Eloquent.
Eloquent. You know, mine is just going to be just like,
I love you so much. No, I mean, my speech, because guys, Tara basically told me you are speaking.
Yes.
At the reception.
Yes.
So I've been preparing sort of in my head, and then, you know, over the weekend as I was hungover and, you know, full of vertigo, I started to just jot down some simple topics or simple ideas. I don't want to give an overly long speech because at that point everyone's going to be drunk and just want to dance anyway.
Right.
So I wanted to make sure that it's really impactful and succinct.
Right.
Tells a story, makes you guys feel good, because, you know, part of me wants to get up and be like, best friends since we were in South Beach and we just got drunk on spring break and we cut our t-shirt. Like, I almost want to embarrass you by doing something like that.
You can.
But no, I'll find a way to embarrass you subtly, but I don't need to, like, be like, oh, boo! Like, we went to Smith together and we had one lesbianic experience and it was together.
And, like, we're so, so close. Like, yeah. I've known her forever. We love each other.
I had sex with her ex-boyfriend and that's why they end up. You know, that kind of stuff. I can't do that. So I started getting it together and I moved myself to tears. Just trying to get the speech together. No, don't love it, because there's not going to be a dry eye in the place.
Oh,
I'm
going to
make them laugh
it.
And cry, and I'm really going to rev up the party.
I love it. I can't wait.
So I started working on that. You know, just to segue out of that, because I'm just getting a little bit teary-eyed just thinking about my speech, because I'm overly emotional and having seasonal depression, and I hate my life.
It's because I'm not in it. That's the problem. So, guys, this is the long stretch for us, and it's really difficult. And I don't know, Johnny, if you notice, we go through a very, like, particular cycle. And so we're together from probably, like, October 1st through skating season, through, like, the things that we do in the spring together, we're together. And then all of a sudden in April, it ends. And we live on different coasts and we don't see each other every day. And when we are in the season, we're always texting. We're always, like, there's just
on top of it.
Then we go through the phase of April and May usually. I don't know if you noticed this, Johnny, but I, over the years, I've noticed.
Yes.
I get weird. I shut down a bit. I'm a little bit angry, but not sure who to be mad at.
Exactly.
I hate it because, like, I miss you. I miss looking forward to the next thing. I miss, like, our daily stuff. I get annoyed when I see you on social media and I'm not in the picture.
And you have no idea the premise of where that picture comes from.
And I almost get sad.
Who are you drinking with now?
I get sad to text you. So April and May, we don't text as often as we should. I mean, we still obviously are in touch and part of each other's lives at all times. But it's not that constant, like,
it's
everything,
like,
that someone says that I have to, like, text you and tell you, you know.
Right.
And then in June, usually, June and July.
Right, around our birthdays, we pick it up again.
Yes, we get really, really sentimental. And then everything starts coming back on text and phone.
Yeah, because, I mean, we've only got, like, a month to then prepare for the skating season. But, you know, I feel the same thing because, right, usually in spring, I mean, obviously, we kind of shut down from the skating season and we leave that behind us. And I start to prepare for the shows and you're preparing for your thing. And my schedule's pretty much always the same in the spring and summer. But I go hardcore into skating prep and all that stuff.
Right.
So I don't even have the energy because I mean, I haven't eaten for a few days. So, I mean, I lose the energy and I get angry and then I get sad. And then I sort of,
it's horrible.
Just sort of roll into myself.
I hate it. I do hate it.
No, we just took it way down.
We took it down. Let's bring it back. What did you do for Mother's Day?
Oh, Mother's Day. Mother's Day was lovely. My mom had to work for the majority of the day. But in the meantime, my dad, brother, and I, we prepared this beautiful dinner, all of her favorite foods. Like, we had lobster tails and potato salad. And we just mixed all the stuff that shouldn't be mixed just because she liked it.
You just put it in one thing.
Just put it in one big
mashed potatoes plus bacon lobster.
Bacon, lobster, egg sandwiches, you know, strawberry shortcake. We did all of that, and she loved it, and I got her a pretty little ring, and it's this vintage sort of very Downton Abbey enamel ring with little chips of diamonds and some gold in it. It was just very pretty. It was a really nice day. I was sad she had to work, but also happy that she had to work, because I do believe I went a little bit hard on Friday night, because it's going to be pretty much the last night that I drink or party or dance or anything until the summer's over, because I've got the skating and just I'm busy, and I don't really like to drink unless I'm among friends, and a lot of these shows and stuff I travel alone.
Right.
And they're my friends and all, but I'm not going to, you know, sit and get wasted with it. It's not you. I'm not going to sit and be, you know, a menace to society without people that I know that can protect me.
Exactly.
But yeah, so I hit it pretty hard on Friday, and then it took me Saturday and Sunday to sort of get myself back together. I was in my nightgown a lot, and by the time it was dinner time on Mother's Day, I was okay. But I'm happy that she didn't have to be in front of me being a disaster. So what'd you do?
My mom came out, and then my dad flew out for the weekend. My mom's still here, so we're doing some, like, wedding stuff together, and she's helping me, as all good mommies do. Mm-hmm. She had a great day. I got her sort of vintage-inspired earrings. She loves, like, I don't even know what the metal is, but it's sort of, like, that darker gray color.
Rhodium?
And I don't know. And then it's this beautiful, like, blue-green stone, and it was they're gorgeous earrings. So I got her those. And we just chilled out all day. We did nothing. We were supposed to go to dinner. And then we're like, no, we're just going to order our favorite chicken sandwich from R&D Kitchen and watch TV. So we watched, what did we watch? Oh, we started that new show, Handmaiden, which is really strange but kind of addicting. It's the girl that's in it is from Mad Men. I forget her name, the little blonde girl.
I love Teletubbies.
Johnny has no idea.
That's no idea what you're talking about.
So Handmaiden, you should watch it. I feel like you'd like it. Just trust me.
It sounds like something I would like.
Right. And then
to be completely honest,
we watched, I'm super addicted to the Albert Einstein show that's on, I think it's on National Geographic. It's amazing. So we watched that. And then, what's funny is the night before we all went to a movie and Todd gave me five choices, right? And I looked at all the trailers, and for some reason, I love Richard Gere. And
yes,
there was a movie called The Dinner. And so I sent back to Todd. I was like, oh, let's do The Dinner. He's like, oh, that's my least favorite. I was like, well, then why did you give it as one of the choices?
Yeah.
Because then I became stuck on it. I was like, no, this is my favorite.
That's what we're seeing.
And he's like, well, you know, like, it wasn't reviewed so great. And, like, it's really talky. And I was like, what is talky? Like, I like talky.
I like Richard Gere, Todd Kapp.
Right.
Get over it.
So we went, and it was one of those moments where actually I don't know if I liked the movie or I was so committed to, you know, liking the movie. And that
you were
this
competing
was
with Todd Kapp.
That I think I liked it. He hated it. He hated it.
of course he did.
It was very talky, and it was really kind of weird. But again, I still don't know if I liked it or hated it. So I'm undecided. But anyway, it was funny how committed I was to it. Even when we left, I realized I was defending the movie. And I'm like, Tara, like,
like, it wasn't
that
good.
You have no, you know, invested interest nor, you know, care about this movie. So why are you so concerned about how good it was? But I felt
once
like I had
Olympian,
to.
Once an Olympian, always an Olympian.
Yeah. I had to protect it.
Yeah, I mean, that was, you chose your choice and you win. You live in a world full of win. And even if it's me or Todd Kapp or whoever, mommy, whoever's trying to compete with you, you're going to compete back.
I'm going to win.
Yeah, you're going to win.
So anyway, it was a winner.
Yeah, it sounded like a winner.
You know, it was a winner, Jay, is your
world.
You actually posted the Mommy Dearest on Tara and Johnny.
Yes, I did on Tara and Johnny. You like that?
I loved it. I don't know why. We love Mommy Dearest, like, with a passion. Like, yeah. We really love her. No wire hangers.
No wire hangers ever. I mean, there's just something vaguely familiar, without offending our mothers. There's something just familiar about certain isms that Mommy Dearest has.
I wonder if other people connect with Mommy Dearest.
I think they do, or else it wouldn't be such a worldwide global hit.
Right, true.
Faye Dunaway as Joan Crawford, I mean, come on.
Wait, should we talk about, since we're talking about mommies, do you want to give the fan corner? Because you had a good mommy one in there.
Oh, yeah, there was a great... Guys, before I get into this fan corner, I just want to say that I've been really, really disappointed with the lack of entries. I'm sorry to say it so bluntly, but I'm going through a lot, and I think I've sounded a little bit adrift in a sea of depression this entire podcast, and hopefully that you can hear that. And even if you just write to us to support us or say, like, hey, you're great. We like you.
Thank you.
Thank you for, you know, inviting us to write on Fan Corner. You know, we like having you in Fan Corner. We like making you a part of our podcast. And when you guys don't write, we can't really make you a big chunk of our podcast because we have other things to talk about,
right.
Like Mommy Dearest or going to see the new Richard Gere movie. So if you don't want a place in the podcast, then tell us. But if you want to keep the walls up on the house of Fan Corner, you have to help build it.
Right.
This is the house that, you know, that, we made.
That Johnny together, built.
That I've built for you. This is the cabin that I've built with my own brawny two-man hands. And I want you all to live in it. But if you don't want to live in it, tell me. I do have man hands. They're really furry. You know what? It's my Norwegian heritage. Yep. We gathered salmons in frosted rivers. That's why my hands are so hairy. Luckily, my hair does not translate to the rest of my body.
No.
Anyone out there that's interested. speaking of, I have to tell you about how I stalked a man on a scooter. But anyway, Fan Corner, these are the abysmal entries this week. So this was an amazing one from Azimbal from Instagram. This is a mommy hates it moment. Mommy didn't gain 30 pounds and lose the use of her pelvic floor so that you could have a build-it-yourself burger bar at your wedding. Now, tell me about a build-it-yourself burger bar.
I don't know. It sounds fun. Sounds like something I should have thought of. But
you know,
I do not have a build-yourself burger bar.
I like a candy bar where you can make one. You know those old-school candy shops?
Bar.
Dessert, yeah.
It's just going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, I can't wait.
It's going to be sickening.
I hope there's something butterscotch on there.
You know how sick I am? I was like, you know what, Mom? We should You do?
Yes.
Like, we should probably put goodie bags out for people to take them. And then I was like, but I'm still here for 3 days after the wedding. Like, I may need to take some of these things home myself. It's a sickness.
As I've told you, I will scurry around and I will make you doggy bags.
Awesome.
So that was from Azimbal. Thank you for your Fan Corner entry. You're one person that really wants to live in this cabin. So welcome to Fan Corner. You will have a passport for life. Welcome to our cabin. Fan cabin. With
yes.
A K.
We. Oh, my goodness.
Yay! Yay, a new place for our fans to live, all billions of you.
Fan cabin.
The fan cabin. Only a few of you, a select few, will be allowed access to the fan cabin. The rest of you will live in Fan Corner, which is at the edge of the property behind the power plant down the street. The next Fan Corner possible fan cabin entry is from Emdris. She's from Florida. She wrote to us on Twitter. Nearly had to pull over when she heard the Japanese Amazing Grace from last week's podcast. And everyone that didn't listen last week... You're not invited. You guys, there's this horrible rendition of Amazing Grace that I'm skating to in Japan as a live collaboration with a Japanese artist who sings actually really well in Japanese, honey. I researched him. He does sing really well in Japanese. It's just the whole English language barrier thing.
Okay.
That made him sing poorly through Amazing Grace. Last week I played Amazing Grace. You should go back and check it out in our archives and listen to that. And then, you know, a final moment, honey, from Fan Cabin is that people are really into us hosting the Eurovision Song Contest.
Okay.
Now, do you know what that's about?
No, please tell me.
Okay. So So for everyone else out there, and everyone I seem to ask doesn't really follow the Eurovision Song Contest, but I love it. It's basically American Idol, but it's by country in Europe. So every country can enter a representative of their country. So Ukraine enters a song that represents Ukraine as well as a Ukrainian singer. And this year Ukraine actually hosted because last year Ukrainian artist won. And it's just really exciting. A guy from Portugal won this year, and he sang amazing. His name's Salvador Sobral, and he was just gorgeous. I loved a little guy from Bulgaria. There was a Romanian duo, and she only yodeled, you know, like, yodle, 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 like that kind of thing. And then he, who didn't speak English very well, a lot of them sing in English, even if they don't, you know, sing that well in English. They were all like, all he really said was, shout it out loud! But in, like, this really gruff Romanian sort of voice. Like, there's a lot of fun that goes on in the Eurovision Song Contest. Anyway, it is on the Logo Network here in the U.S., and I forget actually who hosts it. But anyway, anyone that listens to this that has any in charge of, Tara and I will definitely host it, and I'll explain to her all the rules and everything. But a lot of people from a lot of people trying to claw their way into Fan Cabin wrote from Fan Corner from that post zip code. And they want us to do Eurovision.
I'm good for that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that'd be a really fun,
I feel like
nice
we need
segue.
To do something really random like that, to be honest.
There's nothing random about the Eurovision Song Contest. It's been around since like the 50s.
Right. But maybe a bit random that we're doing it.
Yeah, why not?
Right, exactly.
Will, I'd like to commentate the return of Will and Grace to network television this fall.
Oh, I'm excited.
Oh, my gosh. I want to be there sitting in the audience screaming.
Maybe we get tickets. I wonder if there's a live audience.
I wonder who we could... Like, it's our network. We should be able to get in there.
That would be so fun.
What can we do? Okay, so, yeah, guys, we have things to do. We have to go finagle our way onto Will and Grace and Eurovision, so... Honey, we should
probably start working on that.
Tara's the muscle. Obviously, she threatens people face to face.
Yeah, good thing I have my voice back.
I like to approach it from behind.
On that note,
we want to thank you to all 3.3 trillion of our listeners who join us every week to, you know, hear the follies of our goings on. We're so appreciative. We love you guys, and you make everything possible for us to finagle our way onto Will and Grace in Eurovision. So
Fan
we're really
corner,
thankful for
Fan
that.
Cabin.
If you would, we're really hoping that a lot more people want to live in Fan Cabin with us, but you've got to earn it. So always interact with us on our Insta media, on our social media, at Tara Lipinski, at Johnny G. Weir, at Tara and Johnny. And we will take any comments, thoughts, questions into account. Even if we don't talk about them, we may mention them. Like, oh, will you guys talk about more figure skating? Probably not, but you can mention it, and you may get a mention on our podcast. But until next week, we love you so much. Honey, I love you, and I miss you very
much. I love you. I miss you so much.
All right. Until next time, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
A shark is attracted to the exact kind of splashing and activity that occurs whenever human beings go in swimming. You cannot avoid it.
This program is brought to you in living color on NBC. The opening and some non-presentation portions were pre-recorded.